In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. It's been observed over time that one of our cats has an amazing sense of timing and an inner clock. But it's also very clear that that inner clock is governed by one thing, and that is his stomach. He knows exactly what time it is based on how hungry he is, which is pretty regular. And so because we have, I guess in one sense, unfortunately established a pattern of feeding him at a consistent time, he comes to expect that that time he will be fed. And no one's been able to explain to him the principle of Saturdays, holidays, and the like. So regardless of what's going on, he expects that at that time, it is the time to be fed. And so here it was yesterday, 6 a.m., and none of the Jacksons were out of bed, but the cat felt it was time to be fed. And so what did he do? He came and reached under our door with his claws and began shaking the door. And when that didn't get anybody up, he would walk up and down the hall, not just meowing, but meowing in that kind of distressed meow that cats do sometimes. It sounds more like a howl that's very disturbing. And sure enough, that was enough to get me out of bed. And he's very clearly demonstrated he knew what time it was. And I was just reflecting on the fact that it's certainly a good thing that the fast of Great Lent doesn't apply to pets and animals and the like, or he'd really be in trouble, and all of us would be really in trouble because of his behavior when he hasn't eaten at the right time. Certainly, if we look at the witness of the scriptures in the book of Jonah, the repentance of the ancient Ninevites, it certainly did apply even to the animals. We read how the prophet Jonah arrived preaching repentance, and they all responded, and the king called for a fast for 3 days of all living things, including the livestock. No one, small or old alike, any living thing, it was to take upon themselves this fast and undergo repentance for these 3 days, lest God change his mind and have mercy upon us. And Jesus himself affirmed the greatness of the repentance of the Ninevites in one of his teachings when he spoke about the fact that the men of Nineveh would rise up at the judgment in the last day and condemn this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and something greater than Jonah is now here and in your midst. Certainly, as we reflect upon this time of Great Lent, we recognize it is a time of repentance for us. And certainly, one of the definitive aspects of Great Lent, the characteristics of Great Lent and our time of repentance, is the fast. Why is this? Why is fasting included as part of our repentance? Well, I'll start by saying why it is not. We don't fast because food is evil. We don't fast because eating is wrong. We don't fast because our taste buds are bad. It's none of these things at all. We need to eat, and we recognize that God has given us the sense of taste. But we do recognize that there is this principle in the world of this fallen state that we live in, after the fall of Adam and Eve, that sin has entered into the world, and in our hearts we have this reality of the fallen passions that war with us and take hold of our desires and our fears and tweak them and try to manipulate them in the directions that they want to go. We recognize very clearly that the fallen passions have attached themselves to our desire for food. So fasting is part of the remedy of making our desires go back where they belong and be treated in a more healthy manner. So is fasting really a necessary part of our spiritual growth? Why is it essentially that we do it? And I want to suggest that there are several reasons, but I want to focus on just three things today. Why do we fast? We fast because we need to remember the things that we so easily forget. And first of all, we need to remember that in life, there are more important things than physical food. We need to remember this, and fasting reinforces this principle. Secondly, we need to remember that in life, we don't always get what we want. I think we all recognize we don't always get what we want, but we need to also recognize that it's good that we don't always get what we want, because the things that we want are not always the things that are good for us. And third, we need to remember that in our spiritual life, fasting is a powerful aid and a weapon that is used to our advantage. So consider with me, first of all, that there are clearly more important things in life than physical food. Don't get me wrong here, I know that we all need to eat. We need to eat to live. But so often, that has been distorted. Our eating is not about our necessity. It's not about our survival. It has become something out of balance. And we live to eat rather than eating to live. Our perspective has been completely warped in this. And it's governed by our sense of what tastes good to us and thus appeals to us. And simply, we're hungry and we need to put that hunger to rest. Think about this just in a few practical examples. A soldier in the heat of battle does not get the luxury of a lunch break, does he? Doesn't work that way. In the heat of the battle, surely there are more important things in that moment. Basic survival trumps whatever hunger the person might be experiencing, right? We recognize this. What about other important moments of life that we don't interrupt to have a snack or have a meal? Certainly things like a wedding ceremony. It'd be a bad way to begin the wedding when the groom turns to the bride and says, "Sorry, honey, I'm hungry. I'm going to go have a sandwich. I'll be right back." I would not recommend that that's the way you begin your marriage. We recognize there's an important moment here. You don't interrupt it for something like food. Well, we recognize it in these practical ways. How much more should we recognize it in the spiritual life? We need to remember that spiritual food is more important to us than physical food. Yes, we need to sustain our physical life, but we also need to sustain our spiritual life. And more important than our physical sustenance is our spiritual sustenance by which we maintain our spiritual life. It is, after all, what the whole Eucharistic fast is illustrating to us. We abstain from physical food to partake of heavenly food, spiritual food. Christ becomes for us the bread of life which sustains us spiritually. Certainly, Christ himself has illustrated this throughout his life and ministry. We have the example of Christ's temptation. After he had fasted for 40 days, the devil comes to him and tempts him. And what is that first temptation? Christ was hungry, and the devil says, "Turn these stones to bread." What is Christ's response to that? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, he understood in those moments that there were clearly more important things than filling his stomach. More important things than physical food. There's also the encounter that we see with the Samaritan woman at the well. As Jesus speaks with the woman, the disciples are off in the village buying food. And after he finishes his conversation, the disciples come back with the food. And they're kind of confused at what's going on and why he's speaking to this woman by the well. And none of them dared to ask him. But after a few moments, they come and say, "Rabbi, eat." And Christ responded, "I have food of which to eat that you know not of." And the disciples questioned one another, "Did somebody come and bring him some food?" And when he understood that they were trying to understand his statement, then he explained, "My food is to do the will of the Father," he says. So we clearly understand that Christ understood this. He lived this principle. He understood that spiritual sustenance was far more important than physical sustenance. But we also recognize Christ didn't condemn physical sustenance. He ate, but he recognized that the principle is you feed your soul, and that takes priority over feeding your body. So when we fast, we remind ourselves of this important truth, that there are more important things in life than food. There are surely more important things than what our body needs, and that is what our soul needs. We need to remember that there is spiritual food for our soul, and we need to feed our souls more than we need to feed our bodies. It's that second principle. We don't always get what we want in life. It's a simple reality that we all must recognize. And if we just think about this for just a minute and think about in any given day of our life, how many hundreds of desires pass through our heart and our minds, perhaps thousands of wishes and thoughts and desires that we want, things that we want, they come to us. And clearly, not every one of those desires is fulfilled and realized. And clearly, it's not always a bad thing that they're not all realized and fulfilled. If we received every wish, every random desire, every want that our heart coveted, know, if it worked out that way, the end would not be good. It's like the story of King Midas with his golden touch. Seemed like a good idea. Everything you touch turned to gold, until he understood that there were disastrous effects of that, right? When everything turns to gold, when your wife turns to gold, when the bed turns to gold, that's not necessarily such a great thing anymore, is it? And that's how it is with our desires. We think we want something, and when we get that thing, it's not really what's good for us or what's best in our best interest necessarily. Think of the hundreds of random desires that we have on any given day, and we also recognize they're not all good. And spiritually speaking, we recognize that it's good that we don't get all of the things that we want, all the things that we desire. In fact, some of the things we desire, if we're really going to be honest and look at what we want, and we really recognize where those things lead, we recognize they lead us far away from God. So getting what we want when it leads us away from God isn't a good thing. What we want sometimes leads us straight to hell. And so it's good not to get what we want when it's leading us to hell, right? So we recognize clearly it's good to learn the lesson that we don't always get in life what we want. Fasting reminds us of this. It reminds us to consider the nature of the things that we want, the nature of our desires. And on our basic level, on the most basic level, fasting calls us to think before we eat. We don't just respond impulsively to the desire for food, to fill our mouth impulsively. No, fasting says, wait a minute, consider. Is this the appropriate time and place? Is this the appropriate food of which to partake? See, fasting teaches us to think before we eat. And if we can learn that principle from fasting, to think before we eat, then it can virtually apply in any category of our life, in any impulsive thing that we're about to do. If we can think before we eat, then we can think before we speak. If we think before we eat, we can think before we impulsively explode in anger and just go off the handle. You see, fasting teaches us a level of self-control to stop and not give ourselves over to any impulse that crosses our heart or our mind. Fasting reminds us we don't always get what we want. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, because most of the things that we want really are not going to be good for us in the end. And then there's that third principle. Fasting is a powerful and spiritual powerful aid in spiritual growth, a weapon in spiritual battle. Repentance is good, but when fasting is added to our repentance, it's even better. Prayer is wonderful, but when fasting is added to our prayer becomes powerful. Giving alms helps nurture compassion, but when fasting is coupled with giving alms, then we're on to something new and exciting because there's such a greater level of empathy that we gain in our compassion. See, like it or not, which surely fasting's not easy, and there's an element that we don't like it because it's not easy. But like it or not, fasting is a tool, a powerful weapon that yields powerful results. Fasting helps us do spiritual inventory. As we're developing an awareness of how we eat, the awareness grows. We don't notice just how we eat, but we start to notice there's other things going on inside as well, and things that I haven't been paying attention to, I've been oblivious to. But now because I'm starting to develop an awareness of how I eat, it spreads. And I start to be aware of other things, attitudes in my heart, thoughts that cross my mind. You know, what I feel about a person or something that may have been something I completely was oblivious to. And there it is. It's as if the scales fall from our eyes and we're able to see ourself with a reality that we haven't possessed before. And fasting is that catalyst that helps us go in that direction, to have that, develop that clear spiritual vision. It's kind of like, think of fasting, it's kind of like the production of bronze. Bronze is not an essential, you know, element of itself. It's a man-made thing. We take copper and we add a little bit of tin to it and you get bronze. Why would we take these two metals and combine them? Well, because by doing that, bronze is infinitely stronger than copper, and it's more durable than the copper that we're adding. By simply adding that little bit of tin, it changes its composition. So it's something better, stronger, more durable. Well, that's how fasting works in our life spiritually. It's adding that component that changes the makeup of our spiritual life. It's adding just enough to give us the strength that we need. Remember the story of the father whose son needed demonic deliverance. And the father brought him to Christ's disciples. They were not able to deliver him, and so he brings his son to Jesus and pleads with him to deliver his son. And after Christ does so, he delivers him, drives the demon off. Later, after the father has left with his son, joyous over the event that has taken place, the disciples come back to Jesus and want to know why it is that they were unsuccessful. They want Jesus to teach them what they did wrong. It's a good thing to do, to understand what was done wrong. And Jesus clearly tells them. Immediately, he says, it's because your faith was lacking. You didn't have enough faith, first of all. But then he goes on and he says something else. He says that this demon, only comes out through prayer and fasting. Very clearly, we recognize the passage and what Jesus is saying. He's saying that that added dimension of fasting has a greater power. That added dimension of adding fasting to prayer gives a greater success in praying for deliverance. And so it is in our lives the same way, that when we add fasting to our lives, when we couple fasting with other spiritual disciplines, we find greater strength. We find greater potential for success. Fasting is a powerful aid in our spiritual endeavors, and fasting is a powerful tool in spiritual battle and in temptation. Fasting certainly may be a difficult thing at times, but ultimately we must recognize that fasting is a discipline that is good for us. Fasting reminds us that there are more important things in life than physical food. Feeding our souls needs to take a priority. Secondly, fasting reminds us that we don't always get what we want, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing, because most of the time we're wanting things that are not good for us. And fasting reminds us of this. And finally, fasting is a powerful spiritual aid, a weapon in battle that yields powerful results for our spiritual growth. Fasting is indeed necessary because it's good for our soul, and it helps us on the journey of repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.